the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, Marshall Field, CEO of California Green Tree. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, believe me.
So this is fun. We get to talk about the cannabis industry.
Yes.
First guest I've had on that has been a part of this industry. So I've got a whole lot of questions for you. Let's start with your business. Tell us about California Green Tree.
Well, California Green Tree is a company set up for cultivation. We grow and we'll have three different facilities. We'll average about 29,000 square feet, and we'll grow an average of 15,000 pounds per year per facility. All different strains and for all different purposes and all different, I would say all different strengths. A lot of the dispensaries always like they're a little different. They're all different names. They've given them all different names through the years. So some are a little stronger than others, and everybody has their idea of what they like and what type of THC level they want to buy.
Right. So you're actually growing the cannabis. So you're one part of the industry. Before we started, you shared that if you're on the business side of the cannabis industry, there's kind of three different parts to it. Can you share what those three parts are?
Yeah, the beginning part of it is the cultivation side of it. And then you have the marketing, and then you have the sales, which are the dispensaries. We're going to be part of the cultivation side of it. We're going to be the grower. And then there is coming January 2018, they're going to be a distribution side of it, and then the actual dispensary side of it. So there'll be three different parts to it, and they're all going to be working together. The industry now is going to be highly regulated as of January 2018. Everything has to be lab tested, and everything has to pass a lab test. So there's no pesticides that can show up in the lab report. Otherwise, the dispensary can't buy them. Put it on the shelves. And we're going to be growing all organic, no pesticides whatsoever.
Because, of course, right now it's legal for medical use, but then it will be legal for recreational use come January 2018. So tell me a little bit more about how the industry is now and where it's going given this change in California.
You know, today you need to have a medical card, and that allows you to go into a dispensary and to purchase the cannabis is not as much as you want. There is a limit, approximately an ounce or two. But come January, the law is going to change. They're going to combine the medical and the recreational. So you basically can walk in the door and buy your amount that you really want to have. And there's a limit to, I think it's going to be 3 ounces will be your maximum per transaction. And the pricing will be a little bit different. The taxes will be a little bit different. If you're on a medical card, then you're paying a little bit less in tax. If you're on the recreational side, you'll pay a little bit more in taxes to the state of California.
And right now you're preparing for that January date, right? You're not yet providing cannabis for the distributors.
Yes, we'll have three facilities up and running, and we'll be providing the cannabis to right now legal dispensaries. There's 2,700 legal dispensaries in the state of California. We think there's another 2,700 illegal dispensaries that are not licensed. But come January, you have to have your license, otherwise you won't be able to stay open.
So how did you get into this business?
That's a long story, but we started
we'll take the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, we started about a year ago, and we were selling a dispensary, and we realized, wow, this is a terrific business for people to get into. And we started, we looked at it, and we said, you know what? What we think we could do very, very well is actually do the cultivation side of it. We looked at the numbers, we looked at the quality, we looked at our abilities to be able to develop it. I'm also a contractor, developer, investment banker, so this was easy for me to do.
Yeah, so take us behind the scenes. I got to see the images, and I'm sure we'll show video, but really describe to me, what does it look like and to create this space where you're growing cannabis?
It looks like a large garden with hundreds and hundreds of plants growing all at the same time. And it's set up a little differently. They have a section of it where you're just starting to grow, where the plants are little bitty things, about 3 or 4 inches. And then they have another section where they're about 18 inches. And then you have the large room that actually has where the majority of the plants are. And that's called the flower room. And you might have a couple thousand plants in there.
Wow. Okay. And I know that you grow different types of
different strains.
Cannabis, different strains,
right.
I guess is what you say.
Yeah.
And that is reflective of how much THC, how potent it is. So tell me a little bit about the science behind what goes into creating different types of cannabis plants.
Well, over the years, they had different strains that came from Jamaica and Africa, in California and Humboldt County and Washington. And they started developing these strains and giving them names. And they are all a little different potency. And they were very interesting. As time went on, they started mixing the different strains to create a very higher, much higher level of the THC. And that's the important stuff that people like to get to use, that the higher the THC, the stronger it becomes. So, and some people think it's too high, so they like to go with the certain strains that have a lower THC level.
So you're already anticipating this, and you're creating a brand that you will sell called Happy Brand.
Happy Brand.
Very fitting.
Yes.
And so you're already anticipating that people will be going for recreational use for different purposes. So tell me a little bit about the research you did, about what you think your customers will want, and what you're providing them to meet those needs.
You know, each customer, we were talking about this earlier, that I was in a dispensary and I was standing next to a grandmother and a granddaughter, and they were both asking for something a little bit different. They were asking for something that would help her sleep, and the granddaughter was looking for something that would take have a little bit more fun attached to it. So the grandma was looking for something a little bit easier, a little less than the THC level, and the granddaughter was looking for something a little bit more potent. But they were there for the same reason. And the Happy Brand will actually label the strength of the THC on the label, so you know exactly what you're buying.
Okay, yeah, you're actually going to give it a number and different levels.
THC,
so depending on what it is
10,
you're looking.
Yeah, yeah, below THC or Happy Brand 28 would be much higher.
So if someone wanted to legally grow marijuana, what all goes into starting what you've started?
Well, you know, let's say you go out there and you buy some seeds and you put it in a little bit of water and you grow some roots, and then you put it in a 1 gallon a pot with some soil and feed it and give it some nutrients and some fertilizer, and voila, it grows like weed.
Grows like weed.
And it actually
does. Unintended.
Yeah.
So in your case, obviously, you've very much so scaled. So tell me what goes into scaling it the way you have.
Well, for example, we're going to harvest about 400 plants a day, or actually per week. And that's per facility. We'll be planting about 1,200 plants per week, because you have to keep on growing a whole bunch of them to keep on feeding that final production. And each facility will probably harvest per year about 15,000 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
So going back to that legal word, obviously not anyone can just start growing and selling marijuana. What are some of the legal hoops that you have to jump through,
well,
and considerations?
Each city, every local municipality, you have to be licensed in each municipality. And that license will allow you to get a state license come January 2018. So you need to pass all the tests and be approved by the FBI, Department of Justice, prior to getting your license in the local community.
Got it. And where do you think that the industry is going to be headed now that it is going to be legal in California?
There's a lot of people who want to get into the industry. And I think as right now, it is a growth industry, and it's somewhat the Wild West. But as time goes on, it'll get a lot more sophisticated.
Obviously, right now, it's legal for medical use. Whether or not everyone is using it for medical use is a whole nother question. So do you think that the consumption will significantly increase once it's, you know, wide open and legal to use for recreational use?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of restrictions now. They're going to be coming in January 2018. So you have to be clean. You have to be somewhat organic. You can't use any pesticides. So over the last 30, 40 years, a lot of the growers outside have been using a lot of pesticides. They can't pass the test. There's going to be a lot of growers now who are not going to be able to actually sell their cannabis in the state of California because they won't be able to pass the lab test. So when the recreational hits, you're going to see a huge demand. Like they just saw in Nevada, they ran out of cannabis in 10 days.
Okay, because the supply is going to go down, you're saying.
The supply will go down.
Because of the increased restrictions. And then the demand will go up because all of a sudden a new set of people is able to purchase.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. We are going to take a quick break, but so much more when we come back. Sit tight. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Business Rockstars.
I don't care if you work hard, and neither does the market. Everybody works hard. The successful people are the people who sacrifice more. If your habits are just like your friends, where they're going to Coachella and the music festivals and all those other things, or watching Netflix on binging, and you're doing all the same things as them, get out of here. You're not an entrepreneur. So if you're willing to, like, have an honest conversation with yourself. Are you really willing to not go to those birthday parties, stay up till 3 a.m, and those stupid things like eat Top Ramen forever? That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And if you're not willing to do those things, get out of here, because you're going to lose. That's the only thing I can promise you.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day. Watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, WOW, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. HomeAdvisor can help get you started. HomeAdvisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. HomeAdvisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where we are continuing our conversation with the CEO of California Green Tree. So we kept on saying how January 2018, that's the big month in California when it becomes legal cannabis, that is, for recreational use. So on a larger scale, how is this going to positively impact, or maybe in some ways negatively impact, I don't know, our state and our country?
Well, for California, California is really going to benefit via taxes. They're going to collect millions and millions of dollars worth of taxes. At the other side, they're also going to regulate the quality of the cannabis. And that's very, very important. Everybody wants to go into a dispensary and say, you know what, I'm buying the best quality cannabis I can buy. I'm buying something that I know is not going to hurt me. I want to know if there's any pesticides. I don't want that. That could hurt me. So the new regulations today really regulate the use of pesticides. You're really smoking something that is going to be very, very, very clean. And that's something that's going to happen in January when the new law takes effect.
And then, of course, there are other things like it won't be criminalized and obviously illegally sold and all of that that we could go into. But I don't know if there's anything you want to say
to that.
Well, yeah,
in California, as long as you're in California, you can go into any dispensary in the state of California with your medical card today and actually buy cannabis. Comes January, you don't need a medical card to go into any dispensary in the state of California. Now, if you are a resident of Nevada, you can do it today because it's recreational. But today until January, everything you have to go into a dispensary, you have to have your medical card. But the state of California, once the new regulations take effect, come January, you will be able to go into it for recreational purposes and pay the tax, and that tax will go to the state of California.
Now, obviously, there are some people who are skeptical of marijuana becoming legal for recreational use, concerned about some of the things that may pop up, like consuming cannabis and driving and some of those other things that may be affected. Any insight into those concerns?
Yeah, you really don't want to be using cannabis and drive, just like alcohol. They can't detect it that well today, but they will. You really and truly, it's for home use and or while you're walking on a beautiful trail.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So there's a big opportunity for investment. Can you speak to that?
Well, you know, a lot of the younger people looking to start a business, should learn all about what they can. You go online, you register, you get magazines sent to you, you read all the articles, possibly you want to grow a little bit for yourself. It's a good experience to get a couple of seeds and grow it in your backyard and see what you can do with it. But it's important that you actually learn what you're doing. And it's not that difficult. There's so many online, YouTube, and they teach you actually how to grow it. And it's a good experience. And it's probably a good idea to learn all of the different facets of growing.
So that's legal to
within
grow,
a few, so
starting
many plants,
in January to grow where yourself?
You can do it today.
Okay.
You can have so many plants today, but
it's
not
just
that many.
The selling part that there are a lot of
legal... You don't want to sell it to anyone else, just self-consume.
Investing from the standpoint of, for instance, investing in businesses that either grow like yourself or that are associated with this industry, what kind of opportunity is there there?
There's so much an opportunity for a young person to come in and take a little piece of whatever they might want to do. They might want to get a job in a dispensary. They might want to be a professional grower. They might want to be in the distribution. They might want to be in the security side of it. Depending on what you're looking at, it's important that you read as much as you can and go into an area that you feel comfortable with.
And on a related note, there is a ton of profitability in this industry. Can you speak to that?
Yes, I can. Today, because of the banking regulations, you can only take in cash. And it's a little difficult to run a business only on cash. You have to pay your employees. You got to pay for other vendors. So over a period of time, the state of California is probably going to change that, and we'll have some type of banking in the state of California. Hopefully, it'll change on a federal level also. On a profitability side, it's a very good business. It's extremely profitable to be in this business. And if you are able to get into a business, you would do very well. It's just like any other business. You still have to work hard at it.
Of course, we have viewers and listeners beyond California. So where do you think this industry is headed nationwide?
That's a great question. The state of California is probably the sixth largest economy in the world. 40 million people here in the state of California. There are a lot of people using cannabis, and this is the state to really be in. If you are in another state and it's a smaller marketplace like Nevada, Washington, Oregon, or Massachusetts or Pennsylvania, there are different markets that are much smaller, but there are opportunities to be in your local market.
Do you think more states where right now marijuana is illegal, do you think that they will start to legalize it?
Well, there's 27 states here that are in some way recreational or medically approving. As time goes on, there'll be more and more and more states, but that'll be over a period of time. California is, of course, the large one to be in. And if you're in California, you should take advantage of it.
So if someone does want to get into this industry, what resources are available to them to start learning more?
Well, YouTube, the internet, books, magazines. The internet is a wonderful source.
What have you found most helpful?
You know, YouTube is actually wonderful. It actually shows you how to grow it step by step and inch by inch. It's a wonderful source to actually learn how to grow. They have hundreds and hundreds of videos, and they're really interesting. It really teaches you from beginning to end. It's the most wonderful source to use.
So tell me a little bit more about your work background and what got you into this industry.
Commercial real estate for many years, investment banking. Commercial real estate allowed us to actually know how to purchase the property, to get our entitlements, get our permits. My construction background is working with different contractors to build it. And the combination actually worked really well.
What industries do you think are going to be affected for better or worse by this big boom in the cannabis industry that we're about to see?
Well, you know, the beer industry is a $109 billion industry. Marijuana with the recreational and the medical will be over $50 billion in a couple of years, at least 50% of the beer industry. That's amazing. What a growth industry this is. It really is a growth industry.
Lastly, what is your number one piece of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs?
Really know what you're doing. Read the material. Watch YouTube. Learn what you're doing. And you have to have a passion for it.
And you obviously have a huge passion for the cannabis industry.
I have a big passion for this. Yes, I do.
Very cool. Well, thank you for sharing your passion with us and giving us some insight into the cannabis industry.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
I know.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Caroline Rothwell in the building. She's the president and founder of Carol Marketing. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your company. What do you guys do?
I established Carol Marketing in 2004. We are basically where fashion and influence come together. And we do marketing and PR services and brand development services for fashion clients.
What you were telling me about is, which I think is interesting, is how you went from doing like fashion consulting to now consulting giant people that own giant shopping malls and stuff like that. How do you go from being in the fashion space to becoming like a high-end, high-paid marketing consultant that helps huge businesses? Because I know people that are in the fashion space and they're not shifting over to where you did. What did that process look like?
The ironic thing that happened was they found me.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
One example is I was sort of invited to an event. And next thing I know, I'm being introduced to certain people and they were vetting me and I didn't quite understand they were vetting me.
Yeah. And like people with like $100 million net worths. And
yes. So you never know who's watching. You never know what they're bringing you in for.
Sounds like whoever made that connection for you, you owe them a favor.
I know. I'm very indebted
Changed
to those
your life.
People. Yeah. And I think the other thing is too, just having the agency for so long. I work with baby brands and I work with large established brands. Okay. I've built a couple brand empires. So I think people take notice. And if they're looking for a refresh, they're looking for someone that could come in and kind of get the job done.
Okay. That's what they're looking for. Someone who can get the job done.
Yeah.
You're the special agent they hire.
Kind of, yes.
So I want to know what the journey looked like for you, because at the end of the day, it's one thing to jump forward like we have right now, which is the success, what you've accomplished.
Yes.
But I want to go back to the beginning. I want to know what it was like. Was it easy? Was entrepreneurship always on the radar? Did you have a job you hated? Paint the picture for us.
What's interesting is I was very much on the track to become a lawyer. I was very
Are you happy that you didn't go that direction?
I'm very happy.
Okay.
It took me a while to kind of accept that, because I think you have a much safer track. And you kind of can anticipate what your future is going to look like. I didn't
if,
take
if you
the
were
safe,
an, if you were an attorney.
If you were, yeah, you kind of know where you're going to go.
Usually,
and usually,
not always though.
Not always. I mean, you can shift in partnership and do different types of.
I guess it's different if you're an attorney who starts their own practice versus an attorney who works for a business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it was kind of interesting. I always stayed in politics, but what happened was instead of going into environmental politics, I stayed in the arts, and so I worked for Al Gore for a little bit and did some environmental work with Al Gore, and then I worked with Tsongas. And then I worked with Tom Ridge, the governor of Pennsylvania, and that's where they shifted me into arts education. Secretly, I was also signed to an independent record label. So I was all performing in New York and opening for some big bands. And I kind of had that secret life going. And I was looking for something creative. I didn't want to remain in my Navy suit. I was only 25. And I felt like there had to be more out there for me. Luckily, someone saw my CV in the political system and flew me to Los Angeles out of the governor's office. And I secured a corporate communications position at a young age. And I worked in the tech space. And they flew me up to San Francisco. And that's when I knew I wanted to stay in California and kind of explore my options out here. So it was kind of a wayward road that took me in. But since I was a child, I always loved fashion. My stepfather's mother would take me on buying sprees in Philadelphia to Filene's basement and just the energy. Yeah, and
that's awesome.
I was obsessed. My other grandmother, rich in tradition, a big old Southern home, and we would be in the attics and dressing and playing. And then as a musician, when I was on stage, it was all about wardrobe and styling. Yeah. And so it was always kind of in the back of my mind, but I never thought that it would be a career. And then flash forward in LA, I met a man who was really passionate, who bought a trademark for a fashion company. And he said, I like your style. I love your understanding of pop culture and vintage and process and retail. And do you want to give it a go? And he took a total chance on me. I made peanuts and it was a passion project. I left my corporate role and I took it on and I became their vice president within 3 years. And we built a $150 cool. million dollar company.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So
for people out there, though, that I feel like a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs, the problem why they never jump off the fence or why they wait so long to finally cut the cord from their job and go yes. all in on their dreams is because they don't feel like they're certified, qualified, have the credentials. So my question for you is, for the people out there who are saying, look, I want to do this with my life or my career or my business,
yes.
but I don't know if I have the knowledge, the skill sets, the resources, the connections, the credentials, the qualifications. What do you say to something like that?
I say, just be the best at whatever it is that you're doing. And whatever it is you want to attempt to do, surround yourself by those that can kind of guide you in the right direction. Do your own homework. I mean, the resources and everything that's available to you. Be forthcoming, be honest about where you are in your career, but never be afraid to try something different. Because honestly, it's probably already set its course and you're probably already on your way to getting there. It's just the journey. So never be intimidated or afraid that you're walking into a new territory you're not prepared for.
What about fear and rejection, though? Because I think when most people are on their journey, I completely align with everything you said. Even with that, the biggest fear all people have is fear of not being worthy, fear of rejection, fear of failure. We may not consciously say that or align with that, but that's what it is.
The hardest part.
The biggest reason why we're not having the income, the impact, and the life that we want is ultimately because of our fear of if we go after it and we don't get it, then we failed. Or worse, we get it and then we lose it. So why even go after it at all? Why not just live a comfortable life?
I've had both of those scenarios happen. Win it, lose it, go after it, didn't get it. And
how do you keep going? And how do you bounce back?
You know, I think that that's the number one lesson I've learned as a woman, as an entrepreneur, is that it all comes from the inside. I mean, not to get all new agey on it, but it really comes from a self-balance, a self-acceptance, a self-love that we're doing the best that we possibly can at this moment in time. And if you really believe that and you really are in that space, these things should not impact you. You have to kind of move past that in order to succeed, or otherwise the smallest setback could set you back. There's going to be setbacks. That just comes with it. Humor is also a good thing to, you know, keep in your life and laugh things off and keep some good friends around you.
Well, let's talk about that because I think most people don't have a very strong inner circle.
Yes.
We've heard the old cliche, but so true saying, which is you're the sum of the five people that you're closest to.
Oh, absolutely.
Meaning if you're closest to your business partner or your loved one or your family or whoever your inner five people are you talk to and hang out with the most, you're probably a similar reflection of them or you've embodied qualities and beliefs and values similar to them.
Correct.
And the problem with that is that if they don't have similar values and beliefs and an alignment of going in the direction you want, which may be a healthier life, a more financially abundant life, huge dreams to impact the world, whatever it may be, if they're not in alignment with that, it can be, not always, but it can be more tough to achieve those things. So how do you start to create an inner circle of people that can help push you in the direction that you want in life?
I think for one, you need to kind of listen to yourself. You can kind of get a sense when you're feeling that maybe it's not a good situation for yourself. You have to kind of only trust those that are worthy of your trust. You have to kind of see actions and not just words. So whether it is a friend or whether it's a client, I kind of have the same ethos that sort of, you know, you kind of have to earn the trust and you have to take your time to relationship build. I see a little bit of a struggle sometimes with clients that are very focused on social media, and there's a little bit of a false sense of what their true network really is and how much people honestly care about what it is that they're doing.
Give me an example. What do you mean? I
work a lot with influencers and I work in fashion. So, you know, maybe it's unique in this space, but when you're building your network, there's those that are looking for opportunity to grow their likes and mm-hmm. followers and their financial gain and things like that. It's the same in the celebrity world and entertainment. So you really have to look at the values of the people that you're surrounding yourself with and just keep a good head on your shoulders and trust mm-hmm. your instincts, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know in the influencer space, especially,
it can get tricky.
It can get tricky.
Yeah.
How do people capitalize on social media these days? You brought us into that topic, so I want to pinpoint that, because there's a lot of people out there that maybe say, "I tried social media, it didn't work. We tried Facebook advertising, it didn't work." I hear that all the time because I'm in consulting, and
yes,
we highly advise most people, not always, but for the most part, you should be using social media. You should probably be capitalizing on Facebook targeting and boosting and remarketing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people out there aren't capitalizing on social media. How are you guys doing that? Or how do you advise people to do it?
Well, for some, their needs are just a little bit different. So it doesn't work for everyone.
Exactly. It doesn't work for everybody.
I think that that's sort of the myth. And, mm-hmm. you know, the myth prior to that or, you know, before 2008 was, you know, celebrity endorsement is going to make it happen. And not always. Maybe, yeah. you know.
Not everyone can be doing the exact same thing with.
Exactly. you know, so I think yeah. differentiating yourself from the rest of the market and really honing in on your unique qualities and your unique values and benefits to the people that are engaging with your product or you as yeah. a person. And going back to the basics, we do this a lot with some of our huge corporate clients, even with social media, where we have to just bring it down to its essence and really stay within that framework. I think with social media, when it doesn't work, is they're trying to emulate those out there that are successful and yeah. spending more time on, you know, the looky-loos, like who's over the fence versus what am I doing and am I staying on brand? Am I staying true to the audience? Community management, I always say, you know, that's the key
yeah.
is, you know, spending time with your community and engaging.
You got to be able to build the community first.
Exactly.
But I agree. Facebook.
Like even if you have 25 to start, you know, and,
yeah, yeah.
you know, you can target them and you can boost and you can Insta story yeah. all you want.
Most people undervalue the small 25 that they start with.
They do, because you never know who's. Look at the person who vetted me for that yes. consulting job. You never know who's out there.
That's true. You never know what's going to lead to that $100 million company.
Exactly.
Somebody says they want to learn more about you, get in touch with you, or maybe even follow you on social media. Where can they do that?
They could follow me at Caro Marketing, and that's the tag for everything. Facebook, okay. Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, everything. You can find me there or caromarketing.com.
Awesome. Well, mm-hmm. thanks for coming on the show, Caroline.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
Do you or your business need a better social media presence? Use these few tips to help harness the power of social media. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, quality over quantity. The goal isn't about bombarding users with posts. Ensuring that the posts are targeted towards your market will help you to gain the most traction while also adding more followers. Number two, comment, share, and like often. Genuinely like, comment, and share others' posts every single day, developing relationships with people over time. Now, this won't happen overnight. If you don't give people the time of day, you can't expect them to do the same for you. Number three, don't always be self-promoting. It's not always about promoting. If you want to leverage social media to grow your business, you have to spend a lot of time delivering value. Don't always try to sell people something at every chance you get. Otherwise, you might be putting them off. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor. Hi, I'm Mike Ditcher. On the field, they called me Iron Mike. But some days, even Iron Mike can feel a little rusty. So I turned to Blue Emu. Blue Emu's non-greasy, deep-penetrating formula gets down deep for big-time comfort. And more importantly, it doesn't leave me smelling like a locker room. Now, if you excuse me, I have some yelling to do. You hit like old men! Blue Emu. It works fast and you won't stink.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. U.S. entrepreneurs continue to project a strong business outlook despite a slight dip in economic confidence. According to the Spring 2019 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, nearly 70% plan to expand and more than half predict rising revenues. Even as growth remains a focus, entrepreneurs are taking steps to protect against potential threats to their business. Nearly two-thirds have a business continuity plan in the event of a natural disaster, while the majority have taken steps to prepare for an economic downturn and secure data against a cyber breach. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business, Bank of America.
Small business owners remain optimistic about their business outlook and their ability to grow in the year ahead. However, while most entrepreneurs are taking steps to protect their business from potential threats such as natural disasters, an economic downturn, or a cyber breach, a sizable number still are not.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
To inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. I am joined by Viola Lee. She's a co-founder of Raw Green Organics, and we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles in entrepreneurship today, which there are a lot of them, aren't there? Just yes. A few that you've probably encountered. Let's start from the beginning when you transitioned from more of a 9-to-5, maybe it was 9-to-6, 7 job, to starting your business. What was the first obstacle you encountered?
I think the first obstacle is you really need to make a commitment and just go for it. When you start worrying about, well, am I going to get, you know, am I going to start making X amount of dollars? Is it going to come in? Am I going to get it funded within the first month? I mean, you can't, that just has to go out the door. You have to make a commitment and just go for it and know that you may or may not have a salary for a while.
I always say I always say that entrepreneurship is so much mental too. You have to maintain your confidence, and you know, it's natural for fear, self-doubt, and worries to creep in. But how do you deal with those icky feelings and move past them?
Well, I would have to, if I were to say I woke up every morning thinking, wow, this is, I'm on the top of the world, I'd be lying.
Yeah. Which is refreshing. Thanks for being honest.
I'd be lying. There are so many things out there. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes when you start, you don't know what you don't know. So you might think that you have a great plan because you're really good at one thing. And, you know, you never fail. Everything that you plan seems to work out. And you might think that you had a couple backup plans and things are going to work out. But there's always going to be a bump in the road in everything you do. And I think the one thing is to never be afraid of failing. And that's okay, because you have to have thick skin. You'll fail, or someone's going to say that, you know, that was a stupid idea, or that is completely idiotic, and fine. You know, you take what they have to say, you know, look at it, and there's never any bad advice. All advice is somewhat good advice because it's something that you didn't know before, right? And I think that you just take that and you just keep on going. You can't be afraid to fail.
How do you differentiate the people who are giving constructive criticism and maybe destructive criticism? Because there's a lot of haters out there, right?
Yeah, there is. I mean, people with there are going to be both. People with constructive criticism are going to give you criticism on a product and they'll tell you why. Because of these four things.
And they have your best interest in mind.
They have your best interest, right? Definitely. And their views may or may not be wrong. Or they might be right. I'm not sure, but you should definitely take into consideration. And then there are people who just tell you, well, that's stupid. But why? And then they're just maybe writing you off because it's not important to them, or they don't find that it's interesting. So, you know, there's something for everyone, and not everyone's going to be interested in what you do.
And going back to the failure part, it sounds like a lot of it's just perspective. Instead of seeing it as, oh, shame on me, I made a mistake, it's like, okay, I can learn from this, right?
And definitely. So if you're in a job before where you might have been the A-plus student, A-plus employee, and you're always, you know, going through projects and you are the best of the best and you always did it well, but sometimes it's different when you don't have as many resources. You have to make do with what you have. And things are not going to be perfect. You may not have a perfect business plan the first time around. And a business plan always, God, it's always changing. It's always changed like a moving target. So when you fail, it's just, it happens.
Just pick yourself back up and keep moving forward.
Pick yourself up and keep on going, because if you believe in something, and that's all that matters, just keep on going for it. And that's what's going to drive you.
Yeah, and you've known a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs who have started and then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, this is a lot harder, takes a lot more work than I thought. Would you say that that's true, that it is harder than people think?
Well, it definitely is, because when you're starting out, you might not have all the team members that you need. You know, maybe there might be like four people or five people. And now let's say you need the creative person. Oh, shoot, but we don't have the creative person. We need the salesperson, the marketing person. And you're not going to be able to do that. So as an entrepreneur, you're going to have to wear multiple hats. And a lot of times when you're great at being a team player or great at being an executor, sometimes you have to step aside and be more of a mentor for your other team members. And that can be harder at times.
So what about when you're just starting out and you are wearing multiple hats, but maybe you don't know how to wear some of those hats? Did you just have to learn on the go, or how did you educate yourself?
Oh, you definitely, when there are no resources, you definitely learn as you go. You know, you have your base plan of what you need to execute on, and then you just go down the path. You might not be a logistics expert, but guess what? You're going to try to be, and you try to get as much advice from people as you can in the industry. There's always free advice. So if you can get it, take it. We always try to look for different people for advice, if we can find board members. And there's always people willing to help you. And that's part of the thing about failing too. So a lot of times people say, well, you know, I got rejected by this investor or that investor. But guess what? You know, in that 15 minutes, that even though he said, nope, thanks, why don't you go find another lead and maybe, you know, we'll call you or whatnot. But they'll give you some kind of advice in there. There's going to be constructive criticism that you're going to be able to take and say, shoot, I didn't think about that. Now you learn and you're smarter for the next time around.
Totally. Now, it's very busy being an entrepreneur. How do you maintain a little bit of work-life balance?
Well, for me, now that I have a two-year-old, it is tough. I just have to squeeze it in. If anything, working out is like, I actually have to pencil it into my calendar.
Is that one of the tips you have for entrepreneurs, is actually scheduling outside of work things?
Yes, scheduling in. The workout, it's scheduled, it's on the calendar, you know, at 7:40 in the morning, it's scheduled in. And sometimes if it's a 40-minute workout, it's a 40-minute workout. You get a spin class in, it's great. And, you know, I try to multitask too. So I have a long commute. So I do all my calls in the car. I try to get as much done as I can on my kind of downtime.
And I know a lot of moms who are entrepreneurs sometimes feel guilty. Do you ever have that feeling, and how do you deal with it?
Well, the time, because I'm trying to rush home thinking, okay, I'm going to get home next, you know, shoot, another hour's gone by, another hour's gone by. And by the time I get home, it's, let's say, 9 o'clock. My poor kid's already in bed and I can't wake him up. And then I might get some time with them in the morning, but then I'm off to work again. So I do feel guilty. So when I actually have downtime, I try to spend as much time as I can with my son. I end up lugging him around with me wherever I go as well. And just make an activity.
Totally. Thanks so much to my guest, Viola Lee. I'm Alex Rowley, and this is Business.